You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts, alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Bodica. I am Greg Sussman. What's going on, Corey?
Ain't nothing much, chilling. Just getting ready for another big day here at the Fantasy Sports Network. Be on the radio damn near all day today, so. But that's good. That's where I like to be. That's my safe place. So I feel good about that, you know, coming up on the first weekend of 2018. Looking forward to it. And shout out to my Golden State Warriors getting that big victory last night in a preview of the Western Conference Finals.
Potentially. So no James Harden, of course, in that game last night.
No Kevin Durant either.
No Kevin Durant either. So not really a preview of anything.
Well, you mean, oh, yeah, because the two
best players weren't playing.
The best player is Steph Curry.
Okay, fine, sure. The next two best players weren't playing.
Okay.
Good talk, man. Good talk. What's going on, man?
Good morning. It's cold out there.
But,
it's not warm.
Well, here it actually is.
Here it's fine.
I was going to ask Corey, but he's no longer a Knick fan, how he felt about Porzingis being tired after like back-to-back games and stuff.
At 22 years old. Yeah, come on now.
To be honest with you, it didn't bother me.
How the hell does that not bother you? I've been furious.
So, I get he's 22. Every play goes through him. He's getting bodied and beaten, and he has zero help. What do you want the guy to do? He's exhausted. I understand. I get it. He's exhausted. He's literally by himself.
Get better conditions.
Fine. But it's still, it's not going to stop him from losing. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I find the issue with that.
All right. You know, for me, it really didn't bother me all that much. Because, like, I know Frank Stanfield yesterday came in here like, "Can you believe this?" And he's like, "Do you?" And I'm just like, "Yes."
He's right.
All right. I just felt like he's one dude. He's 22 years old. He has no help, Corey.
He doesn't have any help. You're correct on that. But you still want to see him out there. He's way too young to be taking games off like that. And he's not at that level yet, like a LeBron James or one of these dudes that can just take a couple days off. You got to understand, a lot of these players that take these days off, look at LeBron James. This man plays basketball from October to July every year. Then he does the Olympics every fourth year. You feel what I'm saying?
I get it.
But KP does not have that kind of wear on his body.
I get it. I understand all that.
I have another question.
Seven-game series.
Being that he's going to be out for possibly up to 6 weeks, James Harden,
yeah.
You think he's going to get really good at Madden now?
Oh, I didn't know he was a Madden
dude.
You
didn't see the commercial with him and Chris Paul, and he puts the phone under the pillow.
I would think he
pass me the ball.
I would think so.
Like, you don't tell Tom Brady what to do.
I would think so. Yeah, I would say Harden.
Talk about a little Patriots. Though.
We are. Oh, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do when we get back. But yeah, I think Harden will get pretty damn good at Madden. But I think they're going to do it during the season anyway, right? All right, so we can't really do much. Like on the road, like if he's not going out, he's probably just playing Madden, right? Nice thought.
Yeah, he rumbles too, though.
Does he?
Yeah, big time. He get after it.
I guess that's why him and Chloe just didn't work.
Maybe so.
All right. When we come back,
it's probably more Chloe.
Work for Tristan. Let's talk about Seth Wickersham and the New England Patriots. That's coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
On Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And we kind of all speculated this 8 weeks ago, give or take.
You okay?
Before the Messiah was traded?
Well, the day the Messiah was traded, we said, okay, the Patriots made their move. They traded Jimmy, and this was it.
Yep.
And we had said, we kind of speculated, and the Alex Guerrero stuff kind of comes out. It leaks out.
Yeah.
The trainer of Tom Brady, there's something going on here. And now, in a bombshell piece by Seth Wickersham at ESPN.com.
He does good work.
I like Wickersham a lot. Big fan of Wickersham. He has gone deep state, if you will, into the New England Patriots, and basically kind of broke down everything we said, that Belichick didn't want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, that Garoppolo was next. Like, he believed in that. And Tom Brady and his ego has just gotten so big and out of hand that Brady went to Robert Kraft and he said, you get rid of this guy or I'm done.
I don't believe it.
You're not buying it?
I don't think Brady was. Look, Brady was not losing his job, and I don't think that necessarily happened. I think it makes for great like palace intrigue and stuff like that. I think the problem they had here was looking at the cap next year was honestly having to put like $30 million on one position and tying all that up. They had opportunities. They had better deals last year at the draft. They would have had better deals
absolutely
after the season.
Absolutely.
But
So why trade him? I mean, we tried to speculate this weeks ago. Why?
It makes for good speculation and stuff. I agree on that. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady, what, 40 years old, be 41 next year. I mean, at some point, you have to make that move like San Francisco did. As much as, like, you know, they traded Joe Montana, who, you know, at that point in time was the Tom Brady of
sure
the NFL.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't think Kraft was ever trading Brady. So that wasn't happening. And it's probably going to cost them over the next year or two. I still think next year they'll still have a very good team. Even if they win the Super Bowl this year, would it shock anybody if maybe Belichick said, I'm out? No. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
I would be.
I think they wanted to release him at the end of the season.
Brady?
Yeah.
I agree.
Then they wanted to release him at the end of the season.
I totally agree with
him. And move on with Garoppolo.
I'd buy Belichick 100% wanting
agree
to release him.
Yep.
I don't buy Kraft. I think Kraft
I agree
sees him like... He is. I'm gonna ride with Tom Brady until he's dead and buried.
I 1,000% agree with that, and I agree with you too, Corey.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, this is how they operate. This is how they move.
Correct.
This is how the New England Patriots move.
With every other player ever, this is how Bill Belichick has operated.
And the reason why they would have been so successful is because they don't put the emotion into these players. They move on when it's time to go. They haven't been able to move on from Tom Brady. He has not been himself this season. I believe that they wanted to release him at the end of this season and move forward with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I 1,000% agree with you.
We have to look at. Has Brady been 100% healthy? Look, he's getting older, so injuries are going to creep in. Was the Achilles... I mean, maybe he really did have a bad Achilles injury. I didn't really watch much of that game, but all I saw on my Twitter feed and clips, he couldn't plant that game against the Dolphins. So, you know, maybe he's 100% healthy next year. And the other thing, too, is we didn't know Jimmy G was going to look this good. I don't care who you are.
They got him in practice.
We had an idea that he was good.
They see him every day.
So they know how good he is. It's different in practice. But he still has 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. I mean, I know Chris Ventura is going to get a tattoo on his back. I'm all for the Jimmy G love. You know, I'll push it with everybody else. But we have to just take a little bit of a step back, I think.
You know, it's interesting. I I'm with you, Corey, in that this is how the Patriots have operated for 17 years with Bill Belichick at the helm. That they'll trade you, they will cut you, they will be a year early rather than a year late. Always.
You put yourself in a position that when this guy falls off, which could happen at any time, you saw how it happened with Peyton Manning. We've seen how it happened with other veteran players. It's no warning. They just dip and drop off. That dip and drop off out of Tom Brady would lead to a subpar season for the New England Patriots, and they don't want that. They want to keep it rolling, and Gucci was the way to keep it rolling, was Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the story coming out about his personal trainer guy that's rolling with him,
Alex Guerrero,
that is definitely planted by Bill Belichick and the Patriots to get that information out there that Tom Brady is not perfect. I'm telling you, I feel like this marriage has come to an end.
So let me give you some anecdotes about Alex Guerrero here. Basically, one of these fitness gurus that got in with Brady, And when Julian Edelman goes down, who's kind of, you know, one of Brady's best friends on the team, also a Belichick guy, kind of a middleman here in a way. He goes down. The players, because from Wickersham's article on ESPN.com, the players are just like, well, what do we do? Do we, you know, do side with Belichick and just do what the trainers say? Or, you know, go with Brady? And basically they decided, right, whatever like Gronk does and Amendola do, that's what we're going to do, because we don't want to piss off Brady in any way.
Yeah.
And they all kind of side with Alex Guerrero, the trainer, and Brady. And that leaves Belichick, this all comes from Wickersham, that leaves Belichick all PO'd and like, wait a minute, I'm the coach of this team.
Yeah.
You do what I tell you to do, not what Tom tells you to do.
Yeah.
And I believe that, and again, a lot of this does come from this article, I believe that Belichick has found that like Brady and the ego and the play didn't match the ego anymore.
He's not making the throws anymore.
And this goes back to a couple weeks ago when he started screaming at McDaniels on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
They had a quote, what McDaniels was screaming at him about, finally. It was basically saying, you know, you had Cooks wide open. You had him. And Brady ignored him. And he goes, Tom, you had him open.
Yeah.
F you, mother ever, you know, everything. And it was just like, whoa.
What I'll say is this. I agree with you guys in that Belichick, maybe at the end of the year, wanted to cut him, go on to Jimmy G.
Yep.
But the Patriots, as an organization, Kraft was not cutting this guy. There was no way Kraft is going to do it. This is like his son that he didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how he...
He does have sons, his, Jonathan Kraft.
This is like, you know...
The football son.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is his football son.
Yep.
And he reveres Brady. But the thing here is, when you talk about... I agree. The ego did not match the play, but we've seen in the past players like Mark Messier had more power in that locker room than any goddamn coach you could ever put behind the bench.
Yep.
And certain players have that aura. When you win the amount of Super Bowls and you've done what he's done, people are going to follow you. And mm-hmm. I don't care who the coach is. I mean, you could have Vince Lombardi in that locker room and stuff. They're going to follow the guy that's on the field with them, going to war with them on every play.
They are going to follow him, but I think it's coming to the point now where he's become too big a presence in that situation. The play is declining, and I think that I'm quite sure Bill Belichick wanted to move on. This is probably the reason why Josh McDaniels is likely to move on this year. I don't think they want to be bothered with Tom Brady anymore.
I think, like Matt,
you're right. It is Robert Kraft was never going to let it happen, and he's the one that does own the team. But there is friction in this camp, and I would not be surprised if they still released him in the offseason.
I've said it. I think the Patriots are very vulnerable this playoff run. But if Brady wins another Super Bowl,
they can't release him.
In another month from now, you know what?
It's not going to be
the players are going to be like, Bill, this is our leader. Yeah. That's just the way it's going to be. If he wins another Super Bowl, you know, they were down 28-3 last year.
Yeah.
It was, 3 minutes to go in the third
quarter? That was the last hurrah.
And this, you know, 39-year-old man.
They haven't looked like the same team since. Since that game, they have not looked like the same team.
That last month where there was reports about this Achilles injury and stuff, he has not looked the same. He's missed. They should have lost to Pittsburgh. And so I'm not denying any of that, but all I'm saying is this next month, he marches off on February or whatever with a Super Bowl ring in hand.
It's all forgotten about.
Yep.
I don't see it playing out like this. I don't think they win a game in the playoffs. I really do feel as if the Kansas City Chiefs are going to beat them. I really do feel that way.
Do you think that because there's a chance by the time they play the Patriots, McDaniels has a job, Patricia has a job?
Could be. That could be.
Realistically, that's possible. And they could be. Not that they're going to have to put the work in and try to beat the Chiefs.
They are, no question about it.
But you're right. I mean, this all may be coming to an end.
I feel like this is a team that can be had right now.
I agree.
No, I agree that they can be beat. But I'm honestly, if Josh McDaniels and Patricia leave, that's not, you know. Plenty of coaches have left.
Before, yeah, of course.
Come and gone, been unsuccessful. Once they left the Belichick tree, so that for me, I'm not worried. I've seen Josh McDaniel leave and fail, so.
Sure. You know, and it's really interesting as I continue to go down the article here.
What I find interesting about it this year is Josh McDaniels interviewing with the Colts. That's not a Josh McDaniels thing.
I agree.
That's, you know, Josh McDaniels, you want to interview, go interview with an NFC team.
Go interview the Lions.
Problem. Go out there, interview with whatever.
Didn't Romeo take the job with the Chiefs?
No, Romeo took the job with the Browns.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs was later on. He didn't show up with the Browns. Charlie Weiss with the Notre college, Dame. Yeah. So it was, that was like whatever.
A rival such as the Indianapolis Colts, him being a strong consideration for that job.
The Colts,
he wants out of there.
The same owner that started the Deflategate nonsense, yeah. Jim Irsay, that was him.
He wants out of there.
I agree with
you. And Genie.
And Mangini. We're going to take a break from this. We'll get back to it a little bit. But we're going to take a break from this. We'll come back. I want to talk about the playoff games this weekend. The main event, New Orleans, Carolina. We discuss that when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome inside Studio 34 here in New York City on the Fantasy Sports Network. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, it's the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. To my left, it is Wall Street Matt Modica. And we have playoff games abound this weekend in Wild Card Weekend. And none bigger than the main event. Sunday, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, you get the New Orleans Saints. You get Carolina round 3, Corey Parson.
Yeah, Carolina and the Saints round 3, NFC South rivalry. This game basically comes down to the shoulders of Cam Newton. If the Carolina Panthers want to win this game, they have to have the good camp performance. They have to have the kind of camp performance where he takes over the game. He goes in there and gets the W. And if you want to bet on one player in 1 week situation, it ain't too many in the NFL better to get it done than Cam Newton. But by the same token, it ain't too many in the NFL that will disappoint like Cam Newton.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, I'm with Corey. I can see the Saints blowing them out. I can see Carolina winning.
Mm-hmm.
So this game, to me, is it would be one of the – probably this weekend, the toughest game to bet. I wouldn't want to put my money on this one. It's somebody's getting knocked off. There's going to be an upset.
Yeah.
So it's which is the team? That's what I'm most curious to find out, and I'm praying it's my Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, the Saints, you know, they've beat this team down. It's not really a good matchup for them. The Saints, the way they've improved on defense, Carolina not the strongest offensive team. Carolina supposed to be able to stop the run. That is their strength.
They are the third best defense in stopping the run in the NFL.
Yeah, now I'm going to say for when they play the Saints.
Correct.
The Saints have been able to put it on.
Correct.
I mean, Aaron Kamara did it in, you know, week 3. He was going, you know.
They don't have enough ball control in that offense to beat the Saints, in my opinion. And if they do get that ball control, it's going to have to be off of Cam. This is the week where, you know, we talked in the offseason where Cam is not going to be running no more, and Cam, they're going to change Cam. This is the week where Cam is going to run, do whatever it has to get his team to advance.
Well, let's be realistic. Everything that they said about Cam not being Cam anymore or whatever, it was all BS.
It was
lies.
Way before the preseason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cam's gonna Cam, put it that way.
And I bought into it. I believed all of it. Cam wasn't gonna be Cam anymore. He is. He certainly
he's
is.
He's getting sat next to me all this month.
Well, Matt, let's be real. I sat across from you and saying after week 3, I'm done. I'm dropping. I don't want to own Cam. And you're like, you gotta hold on to him. He's still Cam. And I'm like, I'm never going to play Cam if I own, you know, quarterback X. And you're always the one that's like, you have a bench. He's a fine backup quarterback. There's no reason to drop him. Who are you dropping him for? And that was always your logic. And obviously, he turned it on middle of the year.
I think Corey said it best. No one can do it like Cam, but no one can disappoint like Cam. It's bottom line is, what are you going to see at that press conference? Are you going to see the Cam Newton who's sullen and, you know, tries to avoid the media? Or you're going to see the flamboyant Cam, who's all, you know, decked out.
Dab.
You know, dabbing. So, I mean, I don't know, because if this is I'm excited. This is the game they put on Sunday afternoon. I'm excited my Bills aren't on at 4:30, because I'll be doing Fantasy Gold with Tony Cicada.
Sure.
So, that worked out for me. But, yeah, this should be the game that gets highlighted, and it's intriguing on many levels.
And the thing about it is what makes this game even more interesting, The winner of this game could very easily be in the Super Bowl.
Could, I mean, theoretically, the winner of this game should walk to the NFC Championship game.
Carolina has a chance to go to Philly. If the Rams win, Carolina wins.
Well, so does New Orleans.
So does New Orleans.
Everybody has, like, New Orleans, Minnesota as the favorites in the NFC.
And that's
Carolina's been, like, an afterthought.
I don't think they've been
Carolina.
No, I don't. I'm very scared of betting on this game. But both of these teams, if the Rams win... Both of these teams would then go to Philly if they win, right? And we'll know that Saturday night because the Rams are the 3 seed here and the Saints are the 4. So we'll know Saturday night if the winner of this game just simply walks to Philadelphia. And if that's true, you're facing a Nick Foles team that has looked horrific in every time Nick Foles has started, besides when he faced the Giants. Like, but seriously, he could not do anything in the cold against Oakland. He could not do anything in Week 17 before he was benched. People were talking about maybe they should start Nate Sudfeld. That's how bad it was. And now...
Somebody's going to go in there and pick Philadelphia off. And it's going to be pretty easy.
I don't think it's going to be that easy. They still got a good defense at home. I mean, they can get to the quarterback. But
can they score?
Correct.
They have a running game.
Here's my question, Matt. If they play on next Saturday night, which seems very... I mean, you're going to have the Patriots in one of these games. And maybe the Steelers and the other, whatever. If they play Saturday night, let's say, the Eagles, which I don't think they will, given the teams that could probably left, the Patriots and the Steelers will probably be the mainstream games.
But somebody's going to get that Sunday afternoon.
That'll either be the Patriots or the Steelers. I'm thinking the other one might be the other time, maybe. Yeah. Like Patriots-Chiefs is probably going to be that 4:30 game.
I'd like to see that at Saturday 8 o'clock, Patriots. I mean, our Steelers, if it was like Steelers-Chiefs, that would be good.
Well, the Chiefs are the four seed, right?
Yeah, the Bills win.
Well, you also got to look at the two teams that are playing on Saturday.
Whatever. So,
for the extra day off if they play on Sunday.
My point was with Philadelphia was like if you get in the Saturday night game in Philadelphia, where it's probably freezing. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles is not going to be able to do anything.
Well, then that's what makes this game right here so important because let's just say and Atlanta could be that team going up there too. Whoever gets a chance to go up there, like you said, will get a chance to walk to the NFC Championship game. When you look at this game right here, though, you look at the greatness of Cam Newton. If the Carolina Panthers win, it has to be on the back of Cam Newton. He has to do it because the problem is with the Patriots, what the Saints have on the sidelines is better than what the Panthers have on the sidelines. The Saints have Sean Payton, who's been there before, who's done it before. Been in this division for a while, beating this team this year. Another side is Ron Rivera.
He's done it too.
He has done it too, but Sean Payton's a better coach than Ron Rivera.
I agree with that. But Ron Rivera's gotten the team in the Super Bowl 15-1. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that. The year they went to the Super Bowl, they were 15-1.
I mean, home field advantage.
They earned it.
Yeah, no, they did earn it.
Please call him by his real name,
Riverboat Ron.
I love Riverboat Ron. You know what? I'm going to miss Blackjack Del Rio too. I love that name also. But. Ron Rivera's been there, too, and these guys have faced each other a lot over the years, Rivera and Peyton. In fact, like they've been Peyton's been there forever, and Ron Rivera's getting up there. Like he was hired before Dave Gettleman got there, and is here after Gettleman's gone.
He's been on the chopping block a couple of times and survived.
And he's always survived it. And Riverboat Ron has been a tough challenge for Sean Payton in the past. And I get it. They've beaten him twice, and as Corey pointed out expertly earlier this week, facing a team three times, usually the one that wins the first two times actually wins the third time. But this game on Sunday afternoon, it's going to be a really, really good one because the biggest strength, I think, of both of these teams is that short passing game with the running back with Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara, which means the defenses have seen them, right? Like every week they practice against almost a mirror image.
And I think Sean Payton will be better at making adjustments. To get the victory than I think Riverboat Ron will. So I just look at a situation where the Saints should be able to pull this off. If the Saints do not win, it's going to be because of a great performance from Cam Newton. And it's just we've seen it from Cam before.
For me, the X factor in this game is CMC. You need to unleash this kid. You need to use him, move him around as much as possible. He's their player on offense. That I'm not saying he can be Alvin Kamara, but he could be their type of guy that can you get him open in space, you know, even have him run through some holes at time. Use this kid, mix him up with Jay Stu, who should be fine for this game, and you know that's what they're gonna have to do. And then
they can't control clock with him. I think Greg Olsen's important too.
Greg Olsen and DFA. I mean. I think I'm going to have one where it's a Carolina Panthers stack.
Yeah.
Just because if it does hit and it hits right, you know, Olsen, CMC, Cam. I mean, the good thing with that is, I mean, we saw it versus the Vikings. in that game with under 2 minutes. Cam runs for 60-something yards, sets them up to win it. So he's gonna have to, you know, be on the run, making things happen, and, you know, improvising.
Are you surprised, Corey, as we've talked about all these head coaching interviews, and so many of them this cycle are recycled guys, right? Pat Shurmur, McDaniels, they're all guys we've heard of and seen before and, you know, haven't exactly, you know, lit up the scoreboard in any way.
Yeah.
Are you surprised we haven't seen any love for Dennis Allen, the former Raiders coach, as the defensive coordinator for the Saints, that's turned this unit into one of the best in the NFL? Are you surprised we haven't seen any love for him in the coaching cycle?
Not really. I'm not really surprised by that. I think he's just one of the guys that's overlooked right now. I don't think it's his cycle. I don't think it's his time. Probably next year at this time, you'll start to see his name mentioned a little bit more.
Yeah,
One thing I will talk about, I do hate this recycling of, you know, coaches and stuff in the NFL. But if I'm a college coach and I'm in a good situation, why the hell do I leave?
Right.
I mean, you're like a god in whatever city you're in.
Sure.
And stuff
sure.
Like, and you have it, and it's not like they don't make a lot of money.
Right.
Not like the money mm-hmm. difference and all that. And you have a hell of a lot more power.
Yeah, a guy like Nick Saban, I don't get it. I think that there is that lore, Matt, that if you've won a national championship before, that you want to go see if you can win a Super Bowl. I think it's a thing, and I understand it. But for a guy like Nick Saban, who's like 65 years old.
But even like a Davos, why would I leave? I built this program up.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he is pretty much like Jesus Christ walking around Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, so, you know.
Well, I think the
it's
answer...
It's not like he's not getting paid enough money.
No doubt about it. But I think the answer to that is, what more does Dabo have left to do in college football, if he wanted to leave? I'm not saying he does.
Yeah, no, but then say you go to the NFL and you get paid a lot of money, but mm-hmm. you end up with this, like, bad franchise,
sure.
and, you know, 3 years later, you're out.
You come back to college, you'd be a god again, right? Like, Chip Kelly flamed out, they did everything in Oregon, besides winning a national championship, flames out in Philadelphia, flames out in San Francisco, works for a year at ESPN, not getting paid millions, going to be at UCLA.
Well, I'm happy he's at UCLA.
So, of course you are.
He belongs in the Pac-10.
Yes, he does.
He never belonged in the NFL. It's like, you know, like a Steve Spurrier. Never belonged in the NFL. Like, what was the thing when he first got on the practice field? He asked Marvin Lewis, so what field do you guys practice on?
That's funny. Hey, Corey, are you surprised that... what was it? Are you surprised? We're talking about these coaches. Like John Calipari never went back to the NBA?
Why? Yeah, it's just why for John Calipari.
You
know? Yeah.
If you're the king of Kentucky, why leave?
You can't cheat in the NBA.
You can't get the best. You always can't have the best players.
You always can't have. But the way he gets the best players, I think, is he let them play their game.
Yeah, he does.
He let them play
their
game.
Absolutely. Okay. We appreciate it. Well, we come back, talk to the King, Scott Engel, continue previewing this weekend's playoff games. This is the Roto Experts Inside Studio 34. Appreciate you watching. We'll be back right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Roto Experts program. Thinking of giving DFS a try? Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter sometime today at www.fantasyfactor.com. And it's that time of the morning. We talk to the host of Fantasy Sports Today, which airs on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. He is the host. He is the king. He is Scott Engel. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Don't know if you caught Rockets Warriors last night, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
I did. I actually did watch the entire second half of Rockets Warriors, and it was fun until, you know, the team realized they needed James Harden, and that was it.
Yeah, well, you know, they hung in for three quarters, but like in the final quarter, it's like every shot they missed, the Warriors obviously capitalized. They weren't playing any interior defense, but it was worth it just to watch Gerald Green like tie a career high with 8 3-pointers. Well, two of my favorite stories from the season so far have been like him and Michael Beasley.
Well, it's interesting. Gerald Green, whenever he's had an opportunity, is kind of always in spurts. Had a lot of success. And Gerald Green, having this role off the bench for Mike D'Antoni, it was a perfect fit. It was a perfect fit, and he's become a major fantasy asset with Harden going down. And then Michael Beasley has worked himself into being the sixth man for the New York Knicks, and a lot of times he's out there being the best player. So,
yeah, and with you mentioned Green, and I checked, and He's available in about 71% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, I mean, Gerald Green, I know in my league, was picked up as waivers went through yesterday. That was the first opportunity to pick up Gerald Green, and he went for quite a bit of money.
I'm not surprised about that. You know, quite a game for him last night, and obviously going to see a boost in the production from Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, who's now in the starting lineup. I mean, obviously Golden State did what they had to do without Durant last night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, against lesser teams without Harden, you know, you got guys that are going to step up here.
Let me ask you this, Scotty, before we get into this weekend's playoff games. We started off the program talking about Brady and Belichick and Robert Kraft, the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. The egos involved. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that Seth Wickersham piece.
Yeah, I read the whole thing, which was very, very interesting. And I always, the funny part about it is how the Patriot fans come out against it and, you know, say it's all about ESPN, you know, just trying to drum up another story, et cetera. But it was kind of like with the Seahawks with the last summer with that report about Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson. Look, these things, they go on in locker rooms, you know, this is big egos, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of dynamics going on. Even at every one of our own jobs, people don't get along. And you know, despite the fact that there might be some unrest and people don't get along when they're together every day, families don't get along, you know, these guys have won 5 Super Bowls together. I think the interesting part of it was, though, is that I don't think Belichick wanted to get rid of Garoppolo, and Kraft and Brady did, and Brady came out like he won. Brady believes that he can play till he's like 50 or something like that, and he probably can. I think we've already seen some decline this year, so it'll be interesting to see what the Patriots do in the draft, and at least so far, but we don't know how to play out over a full season. Looks like trading Garoppolo away was a mistake, because maybe a year and a half from now, Brady just can't do it anymore.
Potentially so, and Belichick's always been the guy that wants to be a year early rather than a year late, and I think Belichick ultimately wanted to go to Jimmy Garoppolo sooner rather than later, and Brady's like, get this MF-er out of here, and he went to Robert Kraft, and it happened. I thought Scott Pianowski really said it right when it came to Seth Wickersham's piece. It wasn't a bombshell drop by any means. Like, we've kind of speculated on all of this in the past. It was more of, you know what, that's pretty interesting, seeing this inside look. I think it's very, very interesting getting into the mind of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Robert Kraft a little bit.
Yeah, I think everybody treats anything that comes out about the Patriots, though, with some sort of publicity as a bombshell because, you know, Spygate, Deflategate, et cetera. You know, they've always been controversial. Despite the fact that, you know, they've won so much, you know, there's people always looking to probably cut them down in some way. And that's the way Patriot Nation takes it. But I probably agree with that line of thinking that this wasn't a bombshell as much as it was an inside look mm-hmm. to the dynamics of three large figures within maybe the greatest football dynasty that I've ever seen, at least in the modern era.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I agree. It was a very, very interesting look at this Patriots dynasty. It was really cool. The Patriots will not be playing.
Look, when you co-own a fantasy team, you know, it's interesting because you have three guys there with you, Florio, and Stanford all owning the BFFs. You know, it's not easy to own a fantasy team with three personalities.
No, but it's a little bit different. Scotty, let's get into this weekend's playoff games a little bit. Paul Shapiro kind of wrote about it, 5 wildcard DFS picks. You can read that over at rotoexperts.com right now. And I wanted to take a look at the opener here with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. Kansas City in there, a spot that they own, basically, right? Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time is that first game. We're used to seeing Patriots-Texans. This year, it's Patriots-Titans. I'm sorry, it's Chiefs-Titans, yeah. Excuse me.
Which is a little bit more interesting, although we would love to see a healthy Deshaun Watson here, but I think the Chiefs just have a better team. You know, they think they're better at quarterback. For all that's been made of Alex Smith's playoffs failures, he has one of the lowest interception percentages of all time in the postseason. And I'm running him out there in one of my DraftKings lineups. He's only 6,300. I like the matchups for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce against that pass defense. We know DeMarco Murray's not playing already. Derrick Henry's probably going to be used to play some ball control and take pressure off of Mariota. But I think the Chiefs, know that. I think it's very tough to go in and win an Arrowhead in the regular season, and that atmosphere is just going to be even more raucous for a postseason game.
I agree with that, Scotty. Paul Shapiro over at RotoExperts.com, he starts off by saying he expects Kareem Hunt to really stay hot. Kareem Hunt, after Matt Nagy became the offensive coordinator, basically became the offensive coordinator, essentially calling plays instead of Andy Reid, he put a refocus on Kareem Hunt carrying the football. I saw a stat yesterday, I don't remember where to attribute it to, unfortunately, but ultimately, for the first 10 weeks, he only had, 40% or so, or 67%, whatever it was, a smaller percentage of carries inside the red zone. Over the last 6 weeks, it really, really jumped up in a major way, and he was getting almost every carry inside the red zone instead of a Charcandrick West, and there were more carries inside that red zone as they recommitted to getting Kareem Hunt the ball. Do you expect him to have a big opening weekend in the playoffs?
I would say I expect him to get in the end zone and probably have about a 14, 15-point week. I think, you know, looking for, 150 yards from scrimmage might be asking a lot against this defense. Has a good front seven, I think. But it wasn't just that. It's like they redesigned the play calling. They just had to totally scrap everything that they were doing because they were just getting too predictable in the passing game. And I think Tyreek Hill can hit some big plays this week too. I like him a lot at 6,800 on DraftKings.
I was going to ask you this. Would you rather have Kareem Hunt in there? Taking prices out of it, because I'm in a playoff pool, I need to choose one of them, so it's that personal question. Taking prices out of it, who would you rather play if you had to play one Chief, Scotty? Tyreek Hill or Kareem Hunt?
I already have my lineup in, and I have Hill in there.
Okay.
Because I want to save that money and get Gurley in there, and then I can get McCaffrey for 6,400.
Yeah, so again, taking out price because it doesn't help me at all. I just need to know which one of those guys you like better.
Between Hill and
Hunt.
And Hunt?
Yes.
When you go into close decision, I always give the edge to the guy that touches the ball more. And
okay.
You know the versatility.
Yeah.
Because you look at Kareem Hunt, you know, he could score a touchdown or two and easily produce what the ceiling is for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Although, Tyreek Hill in recent weeks has just been absolutely incredible as the Chiefs have turned it around a little bit.
Yeah, and that's why I have him at 6,800. It allows me to have Gurley for 9,700, who I really want, but you consider how vulnerable the Falcons are to pass receiving backs.
Yes, they are. And Gurley is the offense for Los Angeles as they make their return to the playoffs for the first time in quite a long time. The number three seed, Sean McVay, just did an incredible job. And Paul Shapiro over at Roto Experts really absolutely loves Todd Gurley this week. And Gurley, given the rest of the running backs on the slate, probably going to be the most popular, I'd assume.
Yeah, it's going to make it tough to find the punt plays, though. You know, maybe you like Tevin Coleman for 4,100. And I think I'm going contrarian with Kelvin Benjamin at 3,500 this week because sometimes those players who are very highly unowned can be the difference for you in a tournament, and you know he's going to suck up the targets.
That's kind of crazy to me. You're going with Kelvin Benjamin of the Bills against Jacksonville as your contrarian play. That doesn't seem like a guy that never plays a whole game because of his knee. You're going to start him in DraftKings?
It's only 3,500. McCoy might not play. They might have to feed him the ball.
Oh, he's going to play.
You don't know that.
I, I guarantee he touches the ball more than Kelvin Benjamin does.
We don't know if McCoy's going to play. He said he can't cut without any pain.
Oh, I thought I read the opposite, that he's cutting without pain now.
No, he said he wants to get to the point where he can cut without pain, and there's no guarantees right now. He can't make any promises whether he's going to play or not. He said, I don't want to go in there and not be 100% and be inefficient.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you that they're probably going to do everything they can to get him play, but
yep.
I don't think we can accurately predict anyone's health.
Yeah. All right, Scotty, enjoy Wild Card Weekend, my friend. We'll do it all again on Monday.
Not as much as Modica will.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Scotty, we'll talk to you on Monday. Coming up next, Matt Modica and I talk a little baseball. That comes your way here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember, coming up in hour number two, we're doing the DKMS Big Game Trivia Challenge. How about that?
I'm excited, too.
You guys are the only ones to give away a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're like the lucky chumps.
You are, and I'm going to see if I can join you. We're going to try to give a chance to someone to go to the Super Bowl. We also have Is Mike Lyon coming up here in hour number two.
Oh, that's right.
We have a lot going on. It's been a very, very fun hour. Very, very fun hour,
I think
hour
I have to take the title back.
You think it's time? You've lost too many in a row?
I let you guys have some fun, but it's time to get serious.
Today. You've let us have some fun, and now it's time to get serious, he says. All right, well, whatever you say. Little baseball rumor I read last night, I think it was, by Ken Rosenthal, who said the Mets and Pirates at one point engaged in Andrew McCutchen.
I don't know how real that is. What are the Mets going to give up, number one? If you look at McCutchen's numbers end of the season, it was a pretty good Andrew McCutchen year. You know, he hit 23 home runs. He's always been around that, you know, even in his heyday, like a 25 home run guy. He's not a 35 home run guy. That's not Andrew McCutchen's game.
Sure.
I think he had like around 90 RBIs or so. He, you know, 279 average, you know, still not bad. He, you know, the second half, though, what did happen is the ground balls did go up, the fly balls went down. Mm-hmm. Home run, the fly ball percentage pretty much stayed
the same. Game. Yeah.
There. If I'm a team that's a piece or two away, maybe McCutchen's the guy for me. I just don't see how the Mets match up with the Pirates. I mean, they can't give up Amed Rosario.
Right.
That's their, you know.
Their prize.
That's their prize. I mean, I'd give up Dominic Smith in a heartbeat, but they already have Josh Bell there, so I'd rather have Josh Bell, be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't get the Mets going after an Andrew McCutchen. I don't know like what he brings in any way. That they can't just go get him at the open market for cheaper if a guy has longer team control.
See, I would love to have a Lorenzo Cain.
Agreed.
But I don't like buying speed at his age. You know, I'm not buying a guy who, look, I know he can hit for average. But a big part of his game also is the speed. And at 31 or so, is that really what you want to start investing in?
Absolutely,
especially if you're the Mets.
I get it. The Jacoby Ellsbury thing. You don't invest in 31-year-olds that are driven by speed. But, you know, I don't think it's going to cost as much as... I don't know what Lorenzo Cain costs.
Oh, I see. It's just so... Mike Moustakas should have been a Met like 2 months ago. And that's the guy that really... You go from David Wright, you pass the baton, you put a kid in like Moustakas, who's still young... Mm-hmm. Still has prime years ahead. He's He's made that. He's made the adjustments. I would love to see him there. It's not going to happen, though, unfortunately. And, you know, this is part of the reason. When the Mets are operating like the Kansas City Royals, you know, baseball needs to step in for the good of the game. And it's not going to happen. And it's frustrating. It's aggravating. And the Mets are just trying to piecemeal some stuff here.
Sure.
You know, they're trying to put Band-Aids on this and that. And I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? The Mets are an interesting situation.
I tell you a guy I would take a flyer on if it's one of those, you know, one-year kind of deal things or something like that, or you're just getting him for chances like a Carlos Gonzalez.
Yeah, I'm surprised Cargo. Like, you've heard little niblets about Cargo, like to Toronto or whatnot. I'm surprised that Carlos Gonzalez hasn't gotten more love elsewhere.
Yeah, I heard, I think it might have been Joel Sherman was talking about it, the possibility. They say that the Rockies said that he could play first base, and that would be a good fit for the Mets.
No, definitely. Definitely. I want to see if that's real, though.
Yeah, no. Even he can play ball. If he could play, I mean, where are they going? Jay Bruce again? I mean, Jay Bruce got it done for the Mets. I said after the first couple months of the season, even when he has his downward spiral, I won't bash him for how good he was.
Right.
But I don't think Jay Bruce is the guy, you know, you want to go out and reach out, you know, bring back to the team.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We'll see. It's amazing we spent 5 minutes on Mets. Crazy.
Yeah, no, you could spend 5 hours on Mets, really. You really can.
All right, we're not going to spend any more time on Mets today. I promise you, we have playoffs to get to, no doubt about that. And we have the Game Trivia Challenge. We have Izzy by Florio. We have a lot going on in hour number two, and I can't wait to continue discussing the playoffs. We have the other NFC matchup between the Rams and the Falcons, and what we're thinking about that as we come back. We also have predictions to make. A lot going on. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.